I think I'm going to start having Joe do all of my introductions. True to form, this talk will probably be about 7 minutes long for those of you who are interested in getting out of here in a great time tonight. First, whenever I do my public speaking, I'm usually in an environment where I'm talking with business people. And the topic of Jesus doesn't come up a lot. So this is my first talk in a church in a very long time. Typically in public speaking, what I've been told is if you don't feel comfortable, you're supposed to retreat over here to the lectern. That way you kind of have something to hide behind. And I walked in this evening and I looked, and there's not much room to hide behind this lectern here because there's not a whole lot of space. So bear with me here. What I would like to talk with you about today is the greatest gift that you have ever been given and probably don't know about. You probably haven't even realized this, and since you haven't realized it yet, you haven't opened it up. You haven't unpacked it yet for yourself. But before I get there, I want to tell you a little bit about my family and a little bit more about what I do. My wife, her name's Karen. We live over in the Charlotte area, very close to Joe, of course. And my wife is the very first animal trainer for the entire city of Charlotte. She works with the Animal Control Division at the police department. And really great story that I'm going to share with you here in a few minutes about how my wife came to be in that position. My daughter is a very precocious 6-year-old. She's kind of going on 14 at this point. She's ready to start driving, and she's very, very excited about telling us how she feels about just about everything. So we're really enjoying having her, just the one child, and she is a blast. When I was on my way out this afternoon, matter of fact, when Joe and I were having lunch, my wife ended up sending me a picture that they were at the top of Crowder's Mountain. My wife and my daughter were at the top of Crowder's Mountain, and we got a really good picture from them. So that's a little bit about my family. People have asked me, what exactly is it that you do, Jason? We heard consulting. We heard you've done some schooling and whatnot. What is it that you do? Well, the number one thing that I do is I collect stories. I love collecting stories. Really, the thing that gets me the most excited is talking with business owners who have started a small business and have had some kind of setback, but then had a huge redemption come out of it. One of the stories that I really enjoy sharing the most is a story about a lady that I met here a while back. She is in her late 20s right now. She started out in a big city school district. She's an educator. So she went to school, became an educator. She was out teaching for about 2.5 to 3 years. She wasn't really that excited about it, had kind of gotten into it in college and thought this was her path in life, was to be an educator. And she kind of got into it for a couple years and just thought, you know, this isn't fitting right. There's a little bit of gears grinding. I like it, but then I don't like it. So she got out of the big city school district and really at that point was feeling a bit like a failure. She had just spent all this money, all this investment of time going to college, had this degree, and now here she is only just a few years out and was thinking, what do I do now? She ended up answering the phone one day. It was one of her friends who called up and said, hey, listen, I know that you're kind of in the middle of things right now. While you're figuring out whatever the next thing is for you, why don't you come help me? I started a school. I think this lady had at the time 24 students, kind of an alternative education thing that she had started. And my friend said, okay, I'll come check it out. Might as well, not doing much of anything else. So she goes over here, and it's called alternative school. It's called a free school model. I had never heard of it before. But she loves it. She now has a lot of latitude in how she teaches the kids. She spent a lot of time in that environment working in the school, again, being able to structure lessons in ways that she felt were helping these kids right here in front of her. And that really got her excited. So by the end of about 3 months of this, she just knew that she had found her thing, her calling, her gig. And she spent another year in there really digging deep about what does it look like not only to teach in this environment, what does it look like to create one of these environments? So because she's already thinking, I want to start my own school. So she ended up, throughout all of last year, spending a lot of time on the administration side. What's it look like to really create one, as far as one that the state will recognize and make sure I'm doing everything correct? When I talked to her last, she had gone through all of the steps to go ahead and get this school created. And what she did, she ended up listing her school on an alternative education website. And when I talked to her last, she was looking for just 9 students to get started. She filled that class roster in less than a week with 1 posting on an alternative education website. She starts her school completely filled, as many students as she wanted. She starts that late August. That is a great story for me about somebody who was really feeling called in some direction and then having this wall, this, okay, I hit an obstacle. What do I do with it? Where's the redemption in that story? That's one good story that I've collected. Second story that I've run across, a gentleman that I've been kind of informally coaching here for about a year, year and a half, very, very much a go-getter. And he is in his mid-30s right now. He does, this is something that I would not have the stamina to do. Last year, he went around and knocked on over 3,000 doors for business owners. He does credit card processing. Okay, knocking on the doors, hey, can I do your MasterCard Visa? And what's really interesting about Chris is that his story has taken a number of turns throughout the years. He's on his 5th job right now as a salesperson. Now, he's working for himself, but the other jobs that he had in the past, he knew that sales was kind of his thing. That was his forte. He'd sold copiers in the past. He'd done Amway in the past. He had done jobs that are, quite honestly, very difficult for a lot of people to do. But again, he's kind of looking for his niche. Where is this thing that I can do? Well, he ended up working for another credit card processing company and was leading the company at that point. And he thought, you know what? This, for right now, for this point in my life, this is my gig. Now, for him to get to that spot, to say that this is my deal, he had lost his house. He had lost his car. He had rebuilt his life from a point of having some good things, lost them. Now he found his deal. He found his stride at long last in his mid-30s. He decided, this is going to be the thing. This is where I'm planting my flag. Might not be what I end up doing till I retire, but at least for right now, this is my thing. As we've been working together for the past 18 months or so, Chris has done a very good job of developing a really good base of business. Again, if you knock on 3,000 doors, you're going to get some people to say, yes, somebody's going to like you, all right? So at that point, he's got a really good base kind of built up for his business. And right now, he's able to say, okay, what next? Do I want to hire some people? Do I want to franchise? I mean, he's got a lot of options now because he did all that hard work to kind of build up that residual base for him. So that's another really, really good story that I like sharing with people is that, again, here's a business owner who was really trying to find his place in life, ran into a number of obstacles, lost things, felt like it was all over, ready to hang it up. And then something happens to where he ends up kind of discovering, and then he digs into it a little bit more, and then finally finds his place. I want you guys to think about another couple stories that we have. We're going to go ahead and turn to, at this point, his name was Abram, before he was named Abraham. He was given a promise that, of course, he is going to be the father of many nations. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I read the Bible, it's very easy for me to just kind of dive in there. I think this is Genesis 37, kind of dive into the story. And looking through the story, it's very easy just to skip over, oh, yeah, well, father of many nations, sure, that's going to be easy, all right? Me, I try to put myself in that story. I wish that I would have that much faith to say, hey, this is all going to work. Because I know many of us will be praying. We might be doing a series of fasting. We might be in the middle of a worship song. And many of us will hear, hey, I think I just heard God speak to me. I think maybe I just kind of got a message there. That verse that the pastor just read, yeah, that was for me. I know deep down that was for me. And for me personally, that feeling will last until I walk through those doors right back there. And then I get in the car, I start on the way home, it's like, oh man, wow, I missed it. Okay, maybe I want to go get that. But I need to go back in the church to get that moment again, to get that confidence back again. And what I found is that the more that I dig into that, the more that I hold on, sometimes I start to feel like maybe I just made that whole thing up. You know, I start to doubt. So whenever I read stories about Abraham, it really makes me think about all of us whenever we get into a series or a situation in life where we thought we were kind of doing the right thing, but then this promise, whatever the promise is for us, isn't coming through. There's a huge delay. It's very easy for us to think, well, I've totally missed my mark in life. I'm totally off my stride. I'm off my game. You know, this is as good as it gets. You know, it's very easy for us to feel that way. And I just wanted to bring up that one example to remind us that, yeah, it may take a long time sometimes for us to end up getting that promise that we're looking for. Another story that I want to remind you of is the story of Joseph. This is the one where it starts in Genesis 37. If you look at that passage and begin reading it, I think it was the second verse there, he's 17 years old when he's talking to his brothers. 17 when he's saying, hey, I had this dream. Oh, you guys are never going to believe this. I had this dream, okay, and there's all these sheaths. And your sheaths bowed down to mine, and I was standing there in the middle of you guys. Okay, so he has these dreams about his brothers bowing down to him. He doesn't fully maybe get exactly what that means, but his brothers don't like it at all. Skip forward about four chapters. We're now back into Genesis 41. He's been sold as a slave. He's been taken into another land that's not his. He's been put in jail. He's now 30. That's a very long time from I have a dream to, oh, wow, now I finally get to realize it. Now, in between, again, put yourself in the story. Put yourself in his shoes. You're sitting there in jail for a very long time for something you didn't do. It is incredibly easy at that point to say, you know what, I don't know what I did wrong, but I have obviously blown it. Very easy to do that. The redemption comes up when he's 30. So my message here today that I'm wanting to share with everyone here, that my background happens to be working with small business owners, looking for the redemption in their stories, and it's out there. And I looked at that also, and I took that theme, and I went into the Bible, and I said, where are there stories about redemption? Now, are there just a few stories of redemption in the Bible? Absolutely. Lots of them. And we can look at these stories, maybe not so much as reading them verse by verse, but hey, just kind of sit back for a little bit, and what is this story telling me? Yeah, there is redemption here. This can get better. It gives us hope that, yeah, my situation can get better too. Let me take you to another story about a business owner that I know quite well. My wife. Talked to you earlier about my wife being the city's first animal trainer. She had started her own business. We had put up the website, and she had gone out to, they have these dog day afternoon things where they set up all kinds of tents and booths for animal trainers, people who are groomers, people who will come by your yard and clean it up. So anyways, it's kind of like a little miniature business fair. Well, my wife had attended enough of these to know that she can't stand working those events. And really, if you want to, in that world, if you want to go out and get your business started, you kind of have to be visible in the community. But for my wife, that's just not her thing. She doesn't really want to stand out under the sun and act nice to people she doesn't know. Now, if you happen to have a dog and you come around and you have a question about training, she is all over it. So the business was going okay. I mean, we're into it now, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, and it's going okay. It's not, oh my gosh, we're making a ton of money, but it's okay. We're just kind of, once one client drops off, we'll invariably get a referral, the phone will ring, and okay, now we've got another client. So it's kind of limping along. And my wife was really frustrated with it. And she really, I remember one night, she said, does God not hear us when we're praying? That next day, the phone rings out of nowhere. She had not volunteered for the city of Charlotte, and at that point, for probably about 2 years, she did the very beginning, way early on. She'd volunteered down there to kind of get her skills boosted up. Really long story short, they had just received a grant, and the grant had all these stipulations behind it. Basically, the grant was you have to go hire a dog trainer. Well, this dog trainer has to meet this criteria, this, 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 and this. My wife was one of two phone calls that they made. My wife was the first one down there. She got the job. Now, that was a one-year gig, so here we are thinking, well, do we close down this business? We at least have something that we know is going to be there for the long term, kind of. I mean, it's at least doing something for us. Or do we go over here, and it's only going to last a year? Well, we dove over here because it would give my wife a lot more exposure. So anyways, in faith, we're standing there saying, wow, 2 nights ago it was, does God really hear us? Is he really there? To literally a job falling in her lap completely unsolicited. It was amazing, amazing time. And long story short, that position ended up turning into a full-time deal for her. So she's now on full-time, which is just amazing. She gets to get up in the morning, go to a place, work with dogs all day long, and go home. She doesn't have to market the thing that she's not really that great at, doesn't want to do. She doesn't have to do. An amazing story of redemption. But folks, we as a couple kind of had to go through the fire for a while of, is this really what I'm called to do? Is this really, honey, something that you should be doing? Because it doesn't really seem to be going that well. Well, we hung in there and it paid off. Amazing story of redemption. I love, love sharing it. One of the last things that I want to do is go through a couple of really good notes that I had written down here from a book that I've been reading. There's an author named Neil T. Anderson, and he's written a book called Victory Over the Darkness. And for those of you who are going through any type of a struggle, thinking, wow, does God hear me? Is there really anything in this whole church thing, this whole Christianity thing? Is God listening to me? When it comes right down to it, I need help, and I feel like I'm not getting it. What I found in this book is some phrases here that you guys will really, really enjoy. I'm going to go ahead and dig through just a few of these for you. He has a section here. It says, who I am in Christ. And he's gone through a lot of the promises in the Bible, and rather just reading them in their context, he's reframing them in the first person. Ones that I like here, 1 Corinthians 6:17. I am united with the Lord. I am one in spirit with him. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I am free from condemnation. These thoughts that we might have about we're not cutting it, we're not good enough, we're not making it. You are free from that condemnation. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am the salt and light of the earth. I've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. Very last thing that I want to cover is this gift that I mentioned at the very beginning. I said there's a gift that you have that you may not even be aware of. Well, all of us as believers, we get the chance to do the big do-over. If you think about this one verse I'm going to tell you about it, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And I want you to, I pulled this up on a website, and it goes through several different versions. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord for a couple of days. No, we will be with him forever. That's the New International Version, New Living Translation. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Next translation. So we will always be with the Lord. And on it goes, folks. No matter what translation you read, it all comes down to the same thing. Forever is a very long time. If you ever wanted to start a business, you're going to have the chance to do that. If you started one and it didn't work, you're going to have a chance to do that. If you had a hobby that you just never had a chance to get to, you're going to have time to do that. If you ever wanted to learn to play an instrument but never had time or money, you're going to have both. Things that you used to be able to do very well when you were younger, and maybe you're not able to do so much anymore. Maybe it was really fine woodwork, and you love doing very intricate things with wood. And maybe now you're not able to. You will have all the time in the world, because forever is a very, very redemptive long time. Thank you so much.